You are listening to the Walking Leader podcast with your host, David Guerra.
This is the Walking Leader podcast, and I am your host, David Guerra, United States Army infantry veteran and the author of the books, The Walking Leader and Great to Follow. In this episode of the Walking Leader podcast, I continue to bring you the tools, the tips, and insights towards developing and setting yourself up as a successful self-leader long before moving on towards leading others. Welcome back, everyone. In this episode, we're going to do something a little different. Sure, I've done something like this in the past, but now it's time to kick it up a notch or two. I am beginning a new series here on the Walking Leader podcast. I am bringing back the interviews, and this time I'm going to call this series of interviews Dave Talks With. So be on the lookout for more. In this new series of interviews, I will be talking with individuals that I see as embodying the definition of self-leadership. And to lead us off is an author that I have come to know more than just as an author, but as a storyteller, someone that writes action-packed, timely, almost ripped-from-the-headlines stories, but they write these kind of stories that leave you thinking and asking yourself, wait a minute, didn't that just happen? So, without any further delay, I present to you the first Dave Talks With interview. Alrighty, and joining us today for the first of many Dave Talks With is Michelle Packard. Now, Michelle Packard's an author, folks. And Michelle, well, when I first found Michelle, I found her on social media. It's where we all find our great favorite authors. I liked what she was presenting. I liked what she was bringing to the table in the stories and in the characters. And that got me hooked. And of course, you know, when an author is accessible on social media, people flock. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people flock to those authors again. Just to, hey, what's next? What's on the horizon? So, Michelle, thank you very much for joining me today. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed, and let's just ramble on and let's talk. If you don't mind, real quick, introduce yourself. Tell us where you're from, what you're doing, how you got started in this kooky, wacky world of being an author.
Well, I'll give you my Reader's Digest version. First, thank you for having me. It is my pleasure and honor. You know what? I was a military kid, traveled all around, went into the cable industry, did well there. And when I had my third child, I thought, you know what? I could have somebody else raising my kids, or I can do it myself. So with my husband, obviously. So I got out of business and did all the mom stuff, you know, did the PTAs, the football, you know, the cross country, the cheerleading. And did everything I needed, or I felt that I needed to do for that. And when my twins were leaving for college, I thought, oh, I'm going to have a little bit more time on my hands. What am I going to do? And my family has always called me or referred to me as a Aesop fable teller. They said that I don't let the truth get away with telling a good story. Now, I'm not so sure about that, but I probably do have a little penchant to over-exaggerate some of the stuff. And I read all the books from, my dad was in military intelligence, so any book about the CIA or Black Ops, or it was Patterson, it was Brad Thor, it was just all the authors you think back then. I'm just going brain fart right now on it. And I thought, these are great books. The only thing I wanted different was I wanted a shorter version of it. And I wanted to capitalize kind of the same way that they did in terms of putting a little bit of historical fiction or historical facts into a new fiction. So I wrote down a book, and it took me about 30 days to, you know, kind of just, you know, have some fun. And I gave it to some friends and said, hey, what do you think? And they're like, oh, I would definitely read this. And I thought, you know what? I would too. So I wrote something I wanted to write, and it was fun, and I had a good time with it. And it was right, you know, before COVID started, and I really just thought, oh, I was one and done, and that'll be it. And one turned into two, and two turned into three, and I just finished the sixth in terms of that series, and looking to explore what else I can do. I wouldn't say that I'm a a writer, because I almost feel like I'm not doing justice to that. I don't know where to put a comma. You know, I let editors tell me and they disagree on that. I'm really just about storytelling and, you know, hopefully finding points that you can share and discuss with other people. So in a nutshell, that's how it all started.
Wow. And your main character in the series we're talking about, if you don't mind introducing the series and your main character, and how was Maddie Baker born?
You know what? Maddie, I think, is she's a character that probably I envisioned a little. She's obviously a little bit comes off of me. I come from a very long, you know, lineage of a patriotic family. I think you'll see that exemplified in the way she handles things. You know, when you talk about, or when you see something like a Jason Bourne or, you know, a John Wick or some of these other different shows, the emphasis is on the character and what she does. And with her aspirations are her country and her family. So I kind of just took that and ran with it. She's fiercely loyal, very protective, and wants to stand up for what's right. And you'll see throughout the series, kind of the evolution, as we all have, and how we all change, and how society changes us, and how we can let it mold us, or we can also stand our ground and let us mold it, you know, vice versa. So you'll see that throughout the series. And each for the six books, each book is relevant. I had to wait for history to come up with stuff. You'll see stuff in regards to the pandemic. You'll see things in regards to our relationships with foreign countries. You'll see, you know, I kind of have a play on all the internal agencies, whether it be, and I always joke around about the, you know, the three-letter agencies, the FBI, CIA, you know, TSA. Maybe just a little bit of redirection or misdirection. So that's kind of how the story evolved, of just really just letting the daily events evolve to help. How would you project yourself, and how would you handle potentially something in a fictional story? I had to remind everybody, it's fictional. I had somebody rip me up going, there's no way she could do this. I'm like, it is a fictional character. But thank you for thinking it wasn't.
Yeah, that's usually the nice thing behind authors and their stories. When we make them ours, we can do whatever we want to with them. And redirection and misdirection, I think, is kind of like the cardinal rule for all fiction writers.
Yeah.
It's the only way to get the reader reading to the point that, wait a minute, they start questioning it. Now you know you've got them. And that's a
good
Yeah.
So and I do broach a lot of subjects. And it's not my intent to tell you what to think. I think everybody else has to do their own research, but I probably will interject times for when you shouldn't maybe be thinking about something. So I wouldn't consider myself a journalist in that regard either. So I'm just writing a fictional story that might have some elements that will pertain to your actual life. So
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Again, keeps us on our toes, and that's a good thing. That's really why I liked your series.
Well, thank you.
On your toes, it really got you thinking a little more. And again, I come also, you know, from a military background, so some of these things are plausible. So I won't question it. I'll take it. But then again, I love writing fiction as well. And again, I'll take it. And
it's like, yeah,
why didn't I think of that? Or you know what? That can really truly happen. And then it gets you thinking, because as you mentioned, you're waiting for the real world to occur. And then you start reading the stories, your stories, and it's like, wait, is life imitating art or art imitating life? And how does that really work out? So that's really good. It's kind of a, don't know if you, well, you know Tom Clancy, obviously.
Of course.
Yeah.
I have all the books.
I remember when that Hunt for Red October came out. It's like, how did he
loved it?
How did he know that? How did he know that that was there on the vessel? And it's like, he's never been on, that's top secret. And it was a big stir. And again, that's when you know the author has done their work. And that's when you know that, hey, this is something I really need to think about, because the authors, well, unfortunately, you're telling them something. You know, whether you want to show, you know, take them one path or not take them down another path, you're still showing them something. And
oh yeah, you
get that kind of results from your readers. That's a very good thing. I'd like to get that one day. So that's,
well, and I tell you, I think right now, you know, we have so much access to information. It can almost be overwhelming, and it's hard to decipher what is the truth and what isn't. And you can easily go into a rabbit hole. And, you know, part of the series is just doing that. It's starting off at something and then it goes, well, how did we get here? Or how did that, like you said, how did some of these, you know, previous things from 20, 30 years ago are now coming to light? Or how were they able to portray that back then? They must have had some other piece of information. And listen, you can just start going, right? You know, I don't want anybody to look at my browser history. but I think it's important for all of us now to search for the truth and not just be told what they think is true, if that makes a difference, you know, or if you have to, can understand that.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I think we're at that point where we've reached enough and it's like, okay, now we really start doing, we need to go back to the library.
Yeah.
As opposed to having the library delivered to us. And then it's like, oh, well, here's what I found for you. And this is what you need to know.
Yeah.
Now it's time for us to explore the art of, I don't know, never mind. I forgot what it's called, the art, but the library arts, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that kind of, and we've been talking about that in a little bit, not necessarily about, but the art, but, you know, doing our research, doing your work, you know, looking at things, thinking, getting involved as far as, you know, building your characters, building your story. And I'm going to take a little turn here real quick. For future authors, future writers, those that are interested in writing and those that are writing now and want to move on, an advice for them.
You're going to need to have perseverance. I think it's writing to me is kind of I'll put it in the same category as, let's say, real estate. And here's the reason why. You start off wanting to be a real estate, and so many people go into it. And after the first year, over 50% quit because you're not expecting the time, money, and effort to do it. By the second year, 90% have quit. And I think the same is the true statistics in terms of writers. To write a story is one thing, and it's great. To get that story published into other people is a whole nother level. You know, I started off thinking, how hard is it to get an agent? Probably queried 100 people. Sometimes got the rejection like seconds after I sent the query. It's disheartening. Decided I was going to go the self-published route, and I really wasn't expecting to do much with it. It was really just more of just a hobby. You have to market it. You have to edit it. You have to put a significant financial investment into it. So for new writers, my advice would be hang in there. If this is something that you're passionate about, it's going to take time. And it's not going to be on your timetable necessarily, hopefully. But it is a longer process than probably most people really discuss and tell you about. So that's cool. What I tell them.
Cool. Thank you. All righty. Now, you did, you know, mention write, persevere, and then keep fighting through it. But I see on your website, and again, folks, the website and all of Michelle's social media links will be on the show notes in the as you download the this to your iPhone or wherever you listen, it'll be there, and of course on the website itself. So all the notes will be there as well. Try to find Michelle and get all that information. Where was I going with this? Where I was going with this is that I'm looking at your library of books, everything you've written, and there's one that I need to ask. It's called Willed Ignorance. You want to talk about that one and how important that one is?
Yeah. That is probably, that is my best writing, but it's also on a personal experience. Willed Ignorance is for now. In this day and age, and this was back in the 90s when it occurred, about the effects of suicide in our lives, and how the numbers have become alarmingly higher and higher every year, and hopefully shedding some light in background in terms of dealing with this, handling this, mishandling. And what we can do as a society to get resources, get help, and not have this as a stigmatism that it was in years past. So it is a very personal account of what transpired in my life with my first husband and with two small young children. And the naivety that I had probably at the time of how to handle the situation for somebody who was consistently crying out for help. And willed ignorance is just that. It's just sometimes we're overwhelmed, flooded with different emotions that sometimes we don't see things that are right in front of our face. And that is not to shame anybody or, you know, we're all only capable of so much. And I think now, because we have more resources, more technology, more organizations that can bring light to this, it's my small attempt to say, hey, I understand, I've been there. And I hope in my writings that I can convey that there's more options for all of us as a society in whole. So, and especially with young children, the percentages of suicide now are at an alarming rate. So I've actually I'm in the process. Before, I had all net proceeds go to different charities, whether it be Robbie's Hope, which is a local charity here in Colorado, or to just national organizations. And you know, this is a hard book that to read. It's hard to market, if that makes sense, because it's just the subject matter in general. It's just a hard conversation. So I'm actually changing the way I'm going to be promoting it for this coming year, where I'm going to be putting it the ebook free on all sites, because this shouldn't be a deterrent for somebody else to read somebody else's story that help that might help and benefit them. So I'm in the process of doing that on all the sites, whether it be Apple, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Google Play, and Kobo, putting it free everywhere. And it's already put on my website free now, so you can just download it. And I hopefully it's a resource that will give the reader perspective and help them in a situation that they might be in.
Cool. Yeah, no, definitely. And I'm looking at it right now here on your website. Yeah, 0.00. So it should, again, the cost of entry is zero. And that's a good thing. It is. I understand. I promote the 988 and the Veterans Crisis Line. I do that heavily for that reason alone. It's not affected me directly, luckily, by the grace of God. It is not.
Yeah.
But it happens. And even for those that it doesn't affect directly, you still need to be aware of, because it is affecting someone else.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
And so thank you for that. Thank you for putting that out there.
No, and I was probably hesitant in my earlier years of doing something like that. And I even speak to that. I didn't really go into details before because I had young children that I was trying to protect, and I didn't want them to be stigmatized by the cruelty sometimes of other people. But then as I witnessed my own children and saw their friends and saw just the devastating numbers of maybe part of it is also, you know, we have access to so much more information that we hear it more than maybe it was before. Yeah. That I just thought, okay, you know what, this is, it's bigger than me. And again, if I can help one person, then I've done the right thing. So.
And that's a good thing. Anytime we can help at least one, you know, we've done good. And that's a good thing. So no, thank you again. Thank you for sharing that and putting that out there and taking that step. I know it is just opening up a little bit. It's, you know, taking that big step, putting it all out there. It's like, well, you know, what if the kids read it later? You know, I get that. I understand. But it's one of those that you got to do what you got to do. So again, thank you again for doing that. Do appreciate that. Alrighty. Now I'm still looking at your website. A lot of cool stuff here. Can you tell me about Scoochie Night Night and Snidbits?
Snidbits. Okay. Well, let's do Scoochie because that's the easier one. So after my first book, I wasn't sure how that was going to do well. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to write something for my kids so they have something for me for when they have kids. So I wrote down our nightly routine of what we did. And, we, you know, as kids were young, you know, we read the books of, you know, good night, you know, good moon or whatever it is, the bear coming in. And so this was my version of it. And every night we did something with song or the alphabet. We did something in prayer. And what are we thankful for? So I wrote this book and I was all excited. I gave it to my kids at Christmas. Now, at this point, they're... They were probably about 19 years old, 20 years old. And all three of my kids were like, what was this? I was like, oh my God, we did this every night when we went to bed. And they're like, what are you talking about? I was like, every night when we went to bed, this was our routine. So it's funny that they had a different memory than I did, but I'm hoping to create a new memory for them when they have children. And for other people, that there's something to do with your kids at night. And it's just really the joy of reading, you know, and being thankful for each of our blessings for each day. And to sometimes we forget about what those are when they're really right in front of our face. So anyways, that was a fun book. Snidbits is probably I actually took it off Amazon at the time. I would say it's not PC correct, but I took it off because I just thought the environment was not the appropriate time to be having some humorous comments. And these were just, you know, the things that you see in life, like, you know, why is it that, you know, I'll complain about NFL. Why do they have chains? It's one of the things that drives me up the wall the most. We have technology today that we don't need to bring the chains out for a 10-yard thing. So it's just observations that I made. And I did it more in a sarcastic tone. And but I did have fun doing it. And it was just something to play with. So
good deal. Good deal. And the last one there, Generational Soldier. And I do believe that is a photo of your dad in his army greens.
Yeah.
Looking sharp.
Yeah, he was. For that, I did that for my father's birthday. And I was trying to think when, he's about to turn 93 next month. I want to say that I did that for his 88th or maybe his 90th birthday, but I wanted to give just an account of our family that came from a military background, with my grandfather being in the Army. My dad was in the Army. My brothers were in the Air Force. And my son is actually in Space Force. And so I tied it into what the military mottos were for that generation. So starting with my grandfather, I said, you know, the military mottos for him, and then how that changed for my dad as he served in Vietnam. My brother was the vice chief of Air Force. And even with my son going into Space Force. So it's kind of just for our family, every Memorial weekend, we go down to San Antonio where all of our family is buried. And a remembrance of the people that have served our country and our family members. So I did that as just a tribute to my father. And again, I had friends say, hey, this is great. Why don't you put this out there? So I, on my website, that's something also that you can just download. And it's a very quick, you know, a couple page read. So.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Well, good deal. Good deal. Alrighty. Well, we covered your library. Anything that we missed or anything there on your website you want to share or what's going on or what's happening after Maddie Baker?
What's happening after Maddie Baker? Listen, that was hard. Now, I kind of left it where she could come back. I'm not having spoilers here. Or there could be a spinoff series with one of the characters. So I'm contemplating that. I'm actually in the process of writing a book called Family. The title is Family Ties. But when you look at the book cover, you won't know if it's ties or lies. And it's a psychological thriller. It's going to have a person that comes into, it starts off with a person that comes into the emergency room and she doesn't know her identity and you don't know which story she's telling is the truth or if any of it is true. So it's just been a fun little project and I hope to launch that sometime, probably mid-year. And then I have another book that I have conceptualized was just the outline. And it's going to be a small town psychological thriller also. I prefer to write thrillers. I just think they're fun. I think they allow me to dive into, you know, new personalities and actually research. So I enjoy it for that reason. So I always want to know at the end, like, you know, who did it.
Sounds like fun. And of course, with those thrillers, you always get to blow things up. And that's a good
thing. Well, yeah. In the series, Maddie does blow a couple things up. And for the record, I have a lot of guns in my series. I don't own a gun. I have shotguns. But I do have to research all those guns. So it's somebody's like, oh my God, you must be. I'm like, no, I'm just writing about it.
That's a tool for the story. That's all it is.
Yeah, it is.
Good deal. Now, we're going to bring it back before we run out of time here. Now I did ask for advice on future authors. Now I also want to go back to the walking leader, what I do and on my podcast and stuff real quick. Your views on self-leadership and how that has applied and builds and creates this world that you have created with your books, your stories and your future projects.
Well, listen, I think what you're doing with Walking Leader is great because I think we all have to take accountability for our success and for our happiness. So, and sometimes that can be muddled and difficult. So what I appreciate, I was just listening to your 10 goals and I wrote kind of a couple notes to myself. You know, some of this stuff, you consider it maybe, I write annual goals and kind of like you did. And you're like, hey, I'm going to read more. I want to exercise. I'm going to publish something. I'm going to blog and podcast. And I think one of the things I really enjoyed what you said also is I need somebody to help keep me accountable. And whether that's a partner, a friend, a spouse, your kids. I think it's a very noted point to help keep us on direction and also to give us perspective. Because sometimes we can look at our goals, and I mean, I looked at mine for last year and thought, I only hit about 60%. But you know what? The things that I didn't anticipate and the things I couldn't have planned for, I did 100%. And at the end of the day, I thought I smashed my goals. But it'd be very easy to look at something on paper and think, you know. So I love the fact that you put on your walking leader, you know, have somebody that holds you accountable, and also to raise you when you're not realizing that you're doing a good job. So kudos to you for bringing the daily prompts as a reminder, and also doing the blogs and the podcasts, because I think all of us need the reminders and refreshers and the encouragement to keep being the best version of you. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Most definitely. Thank you. And again, before we wrap this up real quick, if you don't mind sharing how anybody and everybody can get a hold of you. I know that you've got thousands upon thousands of followers across all your social media platforms because you're an author, and that's the way it is, right?
Well, I don't know. We gotta work on some of those numbers.
Yeah, gotta bump them up, but you can always bump them up. But if you don't mind, share how we can get a hold of you.
Well, you can go to my website, michellepackard.com, 1L and Michelle, and you can find me on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Apple, and Google Play Books. So you can search for me there. And by all means, if you read my book, leave a review. If you like it or you don't like it, it helps all authors to refine their works and to explore it and to see how they can improve each and every day.
There you go, folks. There's your goal. Leave a review. That's a goal. I got to leave more reviews. That's the other thing I need to do. I'll add that on. It'll be the 11th one. Leave.
It doesn't have to be long. It could be just say I enjoyed it or it wasn't my cup of tea.
Well, if it wasn't your cup of tea, explain why, folks. Explain why. Yeah. You never know. You might end up in the next story.
Yeah. Well, I do have a habit of putting people in my books. People I like and people I don't.
There you go.
Might as well have fun.
Well, listen, we're running short on time here. I think we're almost done. So I want to thank Michelle Packard again. Michelle with 1L, folks. So when you look her up, it's with 1L. And I'm glad she said that first. I was going to ask, but she brought that up. So again, thank you, Michelle, for joining us today.
Thank you.
I want to take this moment to thank you for listening to this episode of the Walking Leader Podcast and to invite you to visit my website, daveguerra.com. And there you will find all the past episodes of the Walking Leader Podcast, information on how to subscribe to the podcast and how to get yourself a copy of my books and how to join me on the Daily Journal Project, plus a whole lot more. So please consider this your personal invitation to stop by and look around. Again, that's daveguerra.com. Well, it looks like our time today has taken us to the end of this episode, and I do hope you found it educational, entertaining, and informational. Also, I do hope you will join us for the next episode. And please do not forget, you can always contact me with comments, questions, concerns by email at dave@daveguerra.com, on Twitter at daveguerra, all one word, or on Instagram, that's dave_guerra, dave_guerra on Instagram. I look forward to hearing from you. Drop me a note and listen. Hey, until next time, be confident, stay patient, take action, remain resilient, break from the crowd, and most of all, be a leader without equal. Be the walking leader.
The Walking Leader Podcast is a David Guerra presentation.